I think. And then I think about the Chiefs fans. How awesome it is going to be to go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, you have to understand, for us, it's been 50 years. I don't even remember that. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It was a big deal at our house the other night. Yeah. So what I want to talk about tonight is joy, because, you know, there were some people on Monday at work that needed some joy. But that would be because their focus was on the Packers and not on God. So we're going to talk about joy a little bit tonight. And I'm going to start. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of my past experience, and just be really, I guess, just open and honest with you about what happens when our focus is in the wrong place and how the lack of joy in our lives affects us. There was a time where after we had closed the church that we had in Algoma, and we were looking for another church, and everything in my heart just wanted to move home and go back to Missouri. I couldn't get out of here fast enough, but I had all of these material things that were holding us here, and we couldn't go, or I would have been, you know, like gone. You just wouldn't have even seen me. Been like in cartoons, it just would have been that little phew, and there, you know, I would be there. But that wasn't what God had for us. And we had a building in Algoma that we couldn't sell. I mean, we couldn't give the thing away. And I look at it now and I realize that God was like, had his hand over that building, not letting that building be sold, because it was not his plan to go back to Missouri. And we were going to go because we didn't feel like, neither of us felt like we had a word from God saying, stay. So we were going to go, but God was not going to let us go. But he wasn't telling me that he was keeping me here. I just felt burdened and tied down and unhappy. And I had no joy. I was unhappy at home. I was unhappy at work. I was unhappy at church. I was unhappy everywhere I went. And I started having health issues, and not like little health issues, like I would get a cold or something. I had pretty significant health things going on, that still to this day, I mean, I don't have problems with it right now, but it's something that they keep watching, you know? And, I attribute all of that to me not having joy in my life. And I came to understand that just because joy is a fruit of the Spirit does not mean that you're just going to automatically walk in it. It means the Spirit has given that to you, but you, it's your choice if you're going to walk in it or not. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about what joy is. We're going to talk about where we get joy, how we keep joy, and the purpose for the joy that God has given us. Because it's always about more than you. Always about more than just you. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the joy that you give us. God, that it's totally in our control to have the joy that you offer us. And I pray that you stir our hearts tonight in any areas where we are not walking in joy, in your joy, God, in all that you have done for us, in the joy that you give us in every situation, good situations and trials. God, I pray that you help us to just see and know those areas that you convict us, prick our hearts, God, to seek you more, to trust you more, God, to let that joy really flow through us to others around us. God, I pray that you give me your words, God, that you help me to share your heart for people. And we just love you and we thank you for all that you're doing here in each one of us and Invisible Church. God, we give you praise and glory. Let everything that happens here tonight bring glory to your name. Amen. All right, so joy means cheerfulness, a calm delight, a gladness of heart. And I was curious, and I thought, I'll just Google what's the difference between joy and happiness. And this is what I found. Now, this is from a psychology website. Just clarify that right here. It's from a psychology website. The difference between joy and happiness. Joy and happiness are wonderful feelings to experience, but are very different. Joy comes when you make peace with who you are, why you are, and how you are, whereas happiness tends to be externally triggered and is based on other people, things, places, thoughts, and events. I would totally agree with what they said about happiness. I do not agree with what they said about joy, because it doesn't really have anything to do with who you are, why you are, or how you are. It has everything to do with who God is and what you know about him and how much time you're spending with him. And so we're going to look at that tonight. Because without God, if you try to leave joy out of, or God out of the joy equation, you don't have it. I'll just tell you now, you don't have it. It's going to be fake, and it's not going to sustain you, and the world will see that it's not the true thing. So where does joy come from? Let's turn in our Bible to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I don't really think that there's a whole lot that I need to say about that verse. It's all pretty clear and to the point. In your presence is fullness of joy. So our source of joy is going to be from spending time in God's presence. Now, the good news about that is that it's totally dependent on you. How much joy you have is absolutely up to you, because you control how much time you spend in the presence of God. The bad news is it's not easy. It's not easy. It sounds like just spending time being in the presence of something would be an easy thing, but there are oh so many distractions and things to divide our time. And sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I am just too lazy to do it. And I don't like saying that, but that's the truth. Sometimes it's just, it's like, I know I need to go spend some time with God. I can feel like my joy meter is going down. But the funny thing is, the lower your joy levels get, the harder it is, I think, to make the time to go sit at the feet of Jesus. I don't know why that is. It seems to me that it should be the other way around. When you start feeling that, you know, man, there's no place I just want to be with Jesus. But for some weird reason, that joy level starts going down, and we start thinking, oh, well, if I just had this and I just had that, and that's when I start walking through the house and saying, well, we need to paint this and we need to paint that, and I want an island and I want this and I want, you know, all those things, and none of those things are going to bring joy to me. And that does not bring joy to my husband when I start on that track of let's make a list of all the things that we want to do. So, you know, we just need to learn to sit at his feet. And what does that mean, to spend time in the presence of God, to sit at his feet? You know, start right here. Start right here with his word. Start reading his word. Start meditating on his word. You know, one of my favorite things is getting to be reading a little bit. I mean a little bit before I go to bed, so that it's just a couple of verses for me, because I don't know about you, I wake up in the middle of the night for at least an hour, somewhere in the middle of the night, I'm going to be awake. And so if I have read a little bit before I go to sleep, then that gives me something to meditate on and to think about while I'm awake for however long I am. So, you know, meditate on his word. Begin to grow in your understanding of who he is. We've been talking a lot about, in women's ministry, we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, we talk a lot about identity, who we are in Christ. But if we don't understand who he is, we'll never understand who we are. We have to understand and know who he is, what his character is, what God's character is, and his thoughts toward us before we can understand who we are and how we can relate to that. So we need to start doing that. Joy comes from having an understanding that we are held in the palm of the hand of an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. And he's holding you. He counts the stars and names them, calls them by name, the Bible says. I was thinking about that Sunday morning. I was looking up at these stars, and I was thinking, I can't even count those stars, and I don't know names of any of them, you know. So God can, he knows the names of all of the stars, and yet he knows you, and he knows me better than we know ourselves. And even then, he still loves us. And if you can't find joy in that, then you don't understand the love of God. And that's where you've got to go back to, is that God loves you and he knows you. He knows everything about you and he's still good with it. He's still good with it. When we know we know ourselves better than any other person on the earth knows you. And we aren't usually okay with all of the things about us. But God looks at you and he says, I love you. I love you right now. Not you who you think you need to be. I love you right where you are right now. So much that I came to earth and I died for you. So, you know, start meditating on that. And that will start to bring your joy levels up. Now, in the church world, I have heard for a very, very long time, this is where, this is what actually started this whole thing, is somebody saying something about, well, don't let that steal your joy. How many of you heard that? Let it steal your joy. That can steal your joy. Well, as I was pondering this in the middle of the night one night, I had this vision, I know this is going to be crazy, but I had this vision of a little bottle of Joy dish soap. Joy dish soap, right? Yellow in the little, I just had a little bottle. And I was picturing these things trying to come and steal my joy. But all the things that would come to steal my joy couldn't actually do anything. You know, what are some things that we say can steal our joy? Maybe a difficult situation, maybe a person, maybe an offense, anger, frustration, fear, you know, but none of those had the power to come take my joy. The power to hold my joy was with me, but I could totally say, well, fear, here you go. Take my joy. I'm giving it to you. It wasn't stealing it from me, because that implies that we have no control, and we have absolute control over the joy that we have or we don't have. If you don't have joy, I hate to tell you this, but it's your fault. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I don't know how to say it in any really nice, soft way. You know, that's on you, because we already talked about how control, or, you know, we have the ability to control how much joy we have. And that was the unhappy realization that I came to when I was dealing with not having joy. You know, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago when God gave me a word about joy in a Sunday service. And I said I was dealing with not having joy. And although I hadn't really, like, put a label on it that I didn't have joy, I just knew I was extremely unhappy in almost every area. And in church one Sunday, you know, the pastor looks at me and he says, Sarah, you don't have any joy and you need joy in your life. Thank you, you know, because that's the way everybody wants to find out that they don't have joy, is for the pastor to point it out and call you out by name in front of everybody. Well, it's like, okay, well, you're right. I don't have any joy. Well, what am I supposed to do about that? You know, it's not very helpful if you just tell somebody you don't have any joy. If you're going to tell them that, you might want to help them out a little bit. Even though I should have known it, a little guidance would have been good, to just say, you know, here, let's do this. The Bible says that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. So how about we start getting you in the presence of the Lord a little bit? You know, I'll even come alongside you. I mean, that's what we need to be doing with each other. I'll come alongside you. Let's go pray. You know, let's spend some time seeking his face and his heart. And so things don't steal our joy. We give our joy away. And when we're giving our joy away, it's because we're making those other things larger than God, more important than God, or knowing who God is. Now, we all believe or say that we believe that God works all things out for our good, right? God works all things out for our good. He's always with us, right? Yeah. And that he will make a way for us. If those things are all true, then why do we feel the need to control all of the situations in our life, to try to get our hands into everything? Let's go to Isaiah 43. I'm going to read a couple of places in here. I'm going to start out with verses 1 and 2. And it says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor the flames scorch you." And then I'm going to jump over to verse 19. And it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise." So God, the word says God will make a way for us. He's going to make a way for us. He's going to provide water in the desert. He's going to walk through us when we have to go through the waters. He's going with us. If we have to go through the fire, he's going with us. We don't have to try to control every situation in our lives. We need to listen for God's voice. And sometimes I am sure that sometimes we just need to step back and say, "Okay, you do this. I don't know what you're doing. You speak to me, I will follow wherever you tell me to do. Otherwise, I'm just hands off of this." Because I think we mess things up far more by trying to control those things and do what we think we're supposed to do when we haven't heard God's voice. And then he still can accomplish his goal. He can still get to the end of it, but it is not as easy as if we just let him do it in the first place. So we need to trust God. His word is either true or it's not. And that's all of it. So we can't just pick and choose the things that we want to follow. And I had a gal that I work with a couple of weeks ago. She had gotten an email from somewhere that she had been. And this church that she had been to sent an email out. And it was right around Christmas time. And they were talking about when Herod ordered the killing of the innocents, right? All of the little boys 2 and under. And in this email, it said that there was no evidence that that ever actually happened, that that was a type and a picture of, I don't even know, because at that point I was like, you just lost me there. And she's like, "Is that true? Do you believe that?" Because she's asking me. And I said, "No, I absolutely don't believe that." I said, "How can you say this part of the Bible isn't true? And believe the other part?" So we have to know it's all true. It's all true. I mean, there are parables that are stories, but those are clearly marked. So it's true. God's word is true, and we can trust in it. Now, here's a quote from Wes Stafford, who is the former CEO of Compassion International. And he said, "Joy is a decision, a really brave one, about how you are going to respond to life." And it makes me, it made me think about how, you know, we talk about how love is a decision. Love is a decision. It's not a feeling love. You decide if you're going to love or not. And so then I started thinking about all of those gifts of the Spirit. It's like, those are all decisions that we make. They're all decisions that we make. I don't know how I missed that somewhere in my past education in church. I thought that it was just like, you know, they stick a thumb drive in and download that and you just get it and that's how that is. But that's not how it works. It's a decision that we make every day on if we're going to be, if we're going to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. But we're sticking with joy tonight. So now in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We hear that last part of that verse a lot. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But how about the do not sorrow? So I looked up sorrow. I looked up to see what that word means. It means to fabricate, to worry, pain, or anger, to grieve, or to cause pain. I was like, oh, well, isn't that what we do to ourselves? Our little brains are wonderful at that. Creating those situations, fabricating ideas, fabricating situations, creating worry and anxiety and stress, and then that takes away our joy. So, you know, Nehemiah is saying, don't do that because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Nehemiah is working with all of these people trying to get the walls around Jerusalem rebuilt. And those people, they needed joy. They rebuilt the walls in like record time. It was amazing how quickly they did it and how they worked together. And I happened to be reading in Nehemiah in my daily reading right now. And I mean, there were all kinds of people out there building these walls. There were perfumers. You know, how many of you think a perfumer really knows much about building a wall? But they were doing it, and they were all out there. And Nehemiah is saying, we have to be joyful. Let's keep just being happy and doing this and working together, and we can get this done. And we need to take a lesson from that as the church, and we need to all be working together to get the walls built, to build the church so that we can then go out. And that's coming up. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we need to be working together. There needs to be joy in the house, lots of joy, and not, you know, not being concerned about all the other little things that they don't steal our joy, that we give our joy to. So we need to make sure that our focus is not on our circumstances, because that makes us weak. We need our focus to be on God and the joy that He has given us and all that He has done for us and who He is. In James, it says that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials. I don't know about you, that's not the first thing that pops into my head when I come upon a trial in my path. Let's count this as all joy. But that's what we're supposed to do. And, you know, think about this. So you're going down this path of life, and all of a sudden, you know, in the middle appears this problem, this trial for you. A lot of times we want to think, well, you know, this can't be meant to be in my path because, you know, God makes our paths and we follow Him and we walk down it and it should just be clear, right? That's not how it works, which is why God is saying, count it all joy when you come on those trials. And the thing that I am learning to understand and to realize is that, okay, so here's this trial, and I have to learn how to deal with this trial in joy and get through it, because that may be really important, what I learn and what He strengthens in me and what He grows in me for that thing that's farther down the path. And if we try to skip around the trials that God has in our path, not that He always places them there, but they're there. And we have got to learn to joyfully go through them. You know, Joyce Meyer talks about, you know, if you have a mountain and you just keep doing the same thing, you just keep going around the same mountain, or, you know, you test, this is what I used to tell my boys all the time. Well, so you failed that test, not a school test, but you know. You failed that test and you're going to get to take it again somewhere down the line because that's going to pop up again. I guarantee you it's going to pop up again. In our lives, it's the same way. And there were times where I would say, God, I passed this test last time. Remember? I passed it. I just gritted my teeth and I just went through it. I just through it. Well, that wasn't, I thought I passed, but God's looking at me going, I didn't see joy on you. You know, where was your trust in me? You just gritted your teeth and fought your way through it on your own. And that's not how we go through those trials. We have to let him lead us. We have to trust in him. Let him be the one that fights those battles. The battles aren't ours to fight. We just have to know who. That's what we need to know. It's all about who. It's not about what we need. I mean, we're going to follow him. And if you know who, you're going to know who to follow. So then it goes on to say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, the perfect and complete lacking nothing is the goal that we all have in front of us, that we all want, right? But the part that we don't all want is the trials and the testing of our faith and patience being strengthened. But it's part of getting to that end goal. And it's not so bad if you have joy. Trust me. The joy that you have will sustain you. It really does strengthen you, and it makes those trials not so bad. It really does. And that's part of why we're here with each other, why we aren't out just on our own. It's part of the building up of the church where we can encourage and help each other. You know, Jesus, it talks about how he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. The cross. And joy. Those don't seem to equal in our way of thinking, but it did for Jesus. So we need to listen to the voice of God. We need to, as we sit at his feet and we meditate on him, you'll learn to hear the voice more clearly and not listen to the voices that play in our head. When I was getting my hair done today, we were talking about the same voices that play in your head all the time and how those can kind of derail you. Think about Elijah. Elijah goes, he has this great showdown with Mount Carmel prophets, you know, fire comes down. He has a huge victory. And the next thing you know, Elijah is laying under a broom tree telling God, I'm the only one. It's only me. Just kill me now. What happened? How do you go from that to that? That, I mean, like that. It was like, come on, what happened? Well, Elijah lost his focus. He wasn't focused on God anymore. Somehow he got it in his head that he was the only one. It didn't really matter. It was just him. Jezebel's going to kill me. It's not going to matter. Just kill me now, God. We can't listen to those voices in our head. We all, make it clear. We all have those voices in our head. It's not just me, and it's not just Amy. I bet you, I know, everybody does. But we all have those voices in our head, and it's just a decision on our, what are you going to listen to? You going to listen to the voice in your head, or are you going to listen to God? Because God is going to give you joy. That voice in your head has no joy for you. No joy. So let God be God. And we need to stop trying to be the God of our own lives because it's costing us our joy. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was with people in the church, you know, we have to start being honest as Christians with each other. For years, I struggled with what do I tell this person because I don't want to upset them and I want them to like me. That was the bottom line. I want everybody to like me, you know. But it's not so important that everybody likes me. What's important is that we share the truth in love with people. And I so wish that when I was in that place of having no joy, that someone beside would have said, no, I think we need to have a talk about how much time are you spending with God? Because your joy level seems really low. And we know that in the present, in His fullness of joy. So you need some joy, which tells me that we need to spend some time with God here. And if you're not sure how to do that, I'll help you, you know? And at that, I can tell you, that probably would have broken the facade that I had going on, and I probably would have just started crying. But we need to be that way with people in the church. We need to be honest. Empathy feels good for a second, but it does nothing for you in the long run. And sometimes that's what we want, but it's not what's best for us. And God knows what's best for us, but sometimes we get in a place where we have hardened ourselves, hardened our hearing, hardened our heart, where we really aren't hearing Him. And I honestly was in a place where I wasn't hearing Him. I really didn't care at that point. I just wanted to go home. I didn't like it that I had been brought here. I didn't like it that I was having to stay here, and I wanted to go home. But God changes things. We found Visible Church. We were driving home one Sunday, not long after we had moved in here. You know, we remember we had the big thing, and you put something about what Visible Church is to you. I don't remember. And we like clothes pinned them all up there. And I remember that I put on there that I had finally found a family. And at that point, joy started. Started seeking God. I all of a sudden it's like Christian music, that's all I'm listening to. Forget this other stuff. Quit listening to anything else. I started listening to Christian music. I started reading my Bible. And as I did that, joy started to increase in me. And then it wasn't much longer after that. And I looked at Bill and I'm like, we're not moving home. This is our place. We found our family. It took us a long time to find our family. But God is good, and we just need to do that for each other, help each other out. And it's not comfortable. I will tell you, as the person who is sharing that with someone else, it's going to be really uncomfortable. You are not going to like doing that at the front end of it. But when you see the fruit of it, you're going to be like, yeah, that was the right thing to do. What we know is that we know that joy is a cheerfulness, a calm delight, and a gladness of heart. It doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from spending time in the presence of God, and that's where we find fullness of joy. We also know that we are in control of how much joy we have in our lives, because we control how much time we spend with God, and we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I have another quote from you. And this is going to lead to my final point. And this quote is from Mother Teresa. And she said, joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. And this is my favorite part. Joy is a net of love by which we can catch souls. Which then leads us to Psalm 51. I read that quote and I was like, that's amazing. I wish I could find a scripture that would tell me that. So, Psalm 51, verse 12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. I was like, oh. It sounds like if I get this joy, if the joy of his salvation in me is restored, then it sounds like I'm going to be casting a net, and I'm going to be teaching transgressors, and I'm going to be converting sinners. Like, look, there were verses. verses that went with what she said. And I love that she said, joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. And this is where I was saying at the beginning, joy is not just for you. It's not just for you. I mean, it does wonders for each of us. God is so good at this stuff. You know, all the things that he gives us bless us, but they're to be used to bless others, which is amazing to me because we get the benefit of it too. And so think about the world outside of these walls. Think about, I have talked to so many people in the last 2 months that are dealing with depression. And serious depression. The world, it needs joy. It needs joy. They are hungry for it. They are looking for it. They just don't know where to find it. And they're trying to find it in things. And as Christians, we need to be examples of joy. We can't. Otherwise, they look at us and we're not any different than anybody else. And there needs to be that joy in our life, even when we're going through something tough, so that they know, you know what? Well, maybe I need to talk to that person because she always seems, or he, seems to be able to go through the problems in their life, but they're still joyful. There's still a joy about them. They aren't grumbling and complaining and, you know, judging all the time. We need to have joy. The world is starving for joy. And we all want to leave a legacy of lives behind us that have been changed, right? Isn't that kind of like, you ever think about that? It's like, oh man, when I get to heaven, I wonder who's going to be there and say, you made a difference in my life. You know? And if you think about that for a while, you're going to really want it to be like lots of people. You're not going to want it to be just one or two people. You're going to want to be lots of people that you have made a difference in their lives. And joy gives us an opportunity in this world and opens a door for people in the world to listen to us, to see that there's something different and to know that we have something that they need. God needs a joy-filled generation that's willing to make an impact on the world around them. He really does. And it's something that I think, I don't know if it's just our culture. I think it could be a lot in our culture, maybe more than some other places because we have so many other diversions. So many other things vying for our time and our attention. And we need to take the time to sit and just spend time with God. Because in the world, we can't fake it. They know. They might not know where to get it, but they know when it's real. You know, it's kind of like your kids. Your kids know when you're being honest with them or when you're just making something up. Just because, like, well, I don't really know the answer, but here you go, you know. How about just because I said so? We can't fake it. The world knows when it's fake. But they really, really need it. And we know that they need God. They need Jesus. And I know that that's at the heart of the church is to be sharing with those who don't know him. It's not just for us. It's for them. We come in here and get charged up so that we can go out and share that. So, I guess I would finish up and just say, you know, let's commit to spending more time in his presence. Not because it makes us better, not because he likes us better, but because in his presence is fullness of joy, and that joy is the strength that we need to go through all of the trials and everything that we face every day. Listening to the Holy Spirit, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let's make a decision to walk in joy and not let all of the other voices and distractions draw us away from the source of joy. And let's encourage one another to keep going back to the source. It's not a one time you got it and you're done. You have to keep getting that filled up. And then let's take that joy out into the world and let's start making a difference with it. Let's carry the presence of Jesus into the world and be a part of the presence of the joy of the Lord and sharing that. That's what we're called to do, is to carry Jesus everywhere we go. And so let's let everybody see how much joy there is in Jesus. Jesus is, well, Pastor Ben talks about something about sucking on a pickle. Doesn't he? Something about a pickle. I know there's something about a pickle and pickle juice and being sour. I don't know. Something along those lines. And we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be sour and look like we've been, you know, eating pickles. I don't know. But, you know, my one last thought would be, you know, everybody except maybe Pastor Ben, we all need to lighten up. Because there is way too much fun and joy to be had to be so serious about every little thing. I will tell you, I kind of still am a little bit, but like a perfectionist. I like everything just a certain way. I like things, you know, very much. But I have come to realize it doesn't matter. In the end, it really doesn't matter. And I would way rather have fun and get it, you know, pretty close to what it should be, then be all stressed out and have no fun at all and have it all be perfectly right. So lighten up. Just have some fun. Well, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the joy that you have given us. God, I thank you that Jesus made the way for us to have relationship with you, that we can spend time in your presence, that we can just receive more joy. And God, I pray that there will just be fresh commitment in each one of us to spend that time with you. God, to focus on all that there is for us to have joy about. God, to trust you in every situation in our life, that we don't have to control it. That God, we can not even really understand it, but we can just let you do what you do to make those paths for us. God, we know that you make a way for us, that you are always with us. And God, we just pray that you help us to find joy with you and to see your joy in everything that is around us. God, help us to share that with the world. Let us be different. Let us just shine differently than the others in the world, God, because of you. Let us carry Jesus with us everywhere we go, and let us let us just bring all the glory to you, God. Thank you, and we praise you for your word. For your spirit, for your guidance in our lives. And we just give you praise and glory.
Oh, bless his name.